you're not familiar with that, that's VeggieTales, and it's the part of the Jonah story where Jonah refuses to follow the word of God. He refuses to do God's word in his life. And really, that's the message of the entirety of the book of Jonah, how absolutely vital God's word is to us. It is the word of God. We say that unashamedly, unabashedly. It is the word of God. And because it is the word of God, it must be received as the word of God. It must be obeyed as the word of God. That is life for us. And so when they say, what is the word? What is the word? It's the word that God speaks to us in which we find life. This is the history of the people of God, called out of darkness because of the word of God. And always called back into faithfulness, despite the ever-present tendency of the heart to stray, God's word calls us back to faithfulness. This morning we're actually just entering into the study of Jonah. We started last week, and today we're all the way to the third verse of chapter 1, and we're going to focus on just verse 3 this morning, which I think has powerful lessons for us about running from God. Let me read this verse for you, Jonah 1 and verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. To flee from the Lord. This is an amazing word with all kinds of insight for us. Many think of the story of Jonah as a children's story. I beg to differ. It's a story for the most mature amongst us, if we're truly to receive the lessons that are contained in this. Funny story in my own life is when my daughter Esther was about 8 years old, and she decided that she was going to run away from home. She was just so angry. She just had to run away. No one actually can remember why she was angry or what brought this about. But she packed her pink Barbie suitcase, complete with her Barbie and a sweater, and left the house. And she got about four houses away when she realized that she wasn't allowed to go past the corner. She wasn't allowed to go past the street corner. That was our rule. So, and then she says when she saw the street light, the stoplight change to green, she got scared and decided that's as far as she could go. So she hid behind the big green electrical box that was on the neighbor's lawn and tried to hold out there. Of course, we'd seen every step that she took. I was only about 100 feet behind her. Linda had actually helped her pack the suitcase. And the whole episode lasted maybe 10 minutes. I think it was probably the greatest epic fail of running away there ever was. Certainly not very successful. Today I want to offer you some tips, some insights on running. But these are not the usual tips on running, as you're going to see. These are tips of a different kind. And our thoughts are drawn from the story of Jonah, which is truly instructive for us. It is the word of God to us. I want to offer two sets of observations. First, some more general ones, and then more specific ones that are drawn from this story. Firstly, just about running from. I don't know if you've considered just how much our lives are shaped by running from something. And here's a little bit of insight about this. Often we're running from because it's driven by fear. There's some kind, something, some consequence, some situation, implication that we just don't want to face up to, and so we run. And it's also this, it's aimless. It's aimless. I heard a story from an individual a few weeks ago who was telling me that she was in Central Park, New York at a concert, and someone had decided to take their empty pop bottle and screw the cap back on and then drop it to the ground and stomp on it. Everyone thought it was a gun going off, and they scattered. Nobody knew, where it was coming from. Everyone was just filled with fear, and they were running here and there and everywhere. Running from is an aimless kind of running. And this kind of running never ends. We don't know the cause, and we just continue to run. I think there are many who, though it's difficult to admit, actually have their lives characterized by this endless running. Do you want to know why you don't have peace? It's because of endless running. Because running from has no destination. There's no place that you're trying to get to. And once you start running, especially from God, all you can do is keep running until you have that encounter. And that's one final general observation I will make is this. Often our running is running from God. I say this not because of my own personal experience, though my own personal experience truly witnesses to this. This is my life. But it's what God has told us about all of our lives. We run from God. Even if it appears that the threats are other threats, other dangers that seem to impose themselves on us, it's so very often in our lives that we run from God. And that's where we draw the lessons from this prophecy of Jonah. Running from God. There are some specific insights that I want to offer you here as we work through this. And let me try to move through this rather quickly. But I'm asking for you to hear this, because this is God's word to us. Not to hear is to continue to run. So here's what we learn here. Running from God is irrational and futile. Truly is, running from God is irrational and futile. You simply cannot escape God. That ought to make sense to us, no matter where you are in your Christian life or in your faith life, no matter what you believe. If you just understand who God is in all of his excellence, and there being such a God, there is simply no way to escape him. You cannot run from God. Now, you might be asking, why would a prophet, why would Jonah, someone who knows God and who knows the power of God, knows the excellencies of God, why would he be running? How can anyone run from God who is everywhere? In fact, that's precisely what the psalmist tells us in a beautiful psalm, Psalm 139. Let me read verses 7 to 10 for you, because it asks just this question. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, that's Sheol, that's the realm of the dead. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, that's the east, a poetic way of speaking about the east. If I rise in the east, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, in the geography of Palestine, that would be on the west, furthest east or west. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. In other words, God is everywhere, and there is no escape from him. One standard Bible encyclopedia defines omnipresence as this. It's the condition of being present everywhere at once. It's one of the perfections of God. It's one of the excellencies of God. God is everywhere at once. I mean, if God is God, it can only be that way. That means that God is here and God is everywhere. There is no escape of God. But Jonah, he understands this, but he also knows that there's a special presence of God in the work that God wants to do amongst us. There's something special within history that God is doing that goes beyond just his general omnipresence everywhere. Jonah knows that there's a special place where the God of Israel meets with his people. And it's a place where God hears their prayers. It's a place where God meets with his people and where God judges their cause. This is the Almighty God. It's a place where God is met in person, so to speak. And the original Jewish audience, the Judean audience of this text, the story of Jonah, they would have thought immediately of the temple in Jerusalem, the place where you go to meet with God, the place where God's people go to meet with him face to face. And here Jonah was running from this. In other words, Jonah was moving from the temple. That's a very significant thought in Jewish understanding. We won't take time to unpack that, but very significant. Jonah moving away from the temple, moving away from the holy city, moving away from the holy land. As one commentator put it, and I believe I have this comment on the screen to project for you. There it is. Jonah is moving away from all that signifies the presence of the Lord in person. It's as if he were doing his best to turn his back on the face of the great king and run out of the throne room, afraid to look him in the face and unwilling to hear the word of his mouth. His flight is not an attempt to escape divine omnipresence so much as an effort not to heed the word, not to heed God's word. That's Jonah's flight, and it's very significant for us. It also gives us this insight. Running from God is not only irrational and futile, we're running from our purpose, our God-ordained purpose and identity. And that's clearly what's going on in Jonah's life here. Jonah did not want to proclaim the message God had given him. It was a message of judgment, and that's not an easy message to deliver. And if Jonah were to preach this message of judgment, it would probably be at the cost of his life, because Nineveh was such a violent, bloody city. In fact, one author put it this way, and I want it on the screen so that you can see. One author said this: sending an Israelite to preach in Nineveh in the 8th century B.C. is a little like sending a Jew to preach to Berlin in the 1930s. Short of a stupendous miracle, the prospect of success is not high, and a forlorn, gruesome death looks much more likely. And that's the situation that Jonah found himself in. Jonah running from the consequences of the word of God. That's a powerful lesson for us, because it speaks, this is God revealing what's in our hearts. It speaks about our own propensity to run because of fear in the face of the word of God. Now, we do need to be careful, not too quick to judge Jonah, because what's true of him is also true of us. That's what God does in his word, shows us what is true of us. It's difficult to proclaim a thing that is hard to hear to those who are to hear it. It's difficult to proclaim a message of God's opposition to sin. It's true in our context, just as it is in Jonah's context, but it's nonetheless real, nonetheless needed. But here's the good news in this story. the good news that comes even in the midst of this running: Jonah's flight is not a threat to the purposes of God. Even though he's running from the purposes of God, Jonah's own efforts do not present a problem to God. God is able to achieve what he desires to achieve. What Jonah does not yet know is that he can no more escape obedience to God's word than he can actually escape the omnipresence of God in God's world. We gain this insight as well. Jonah's flight from God, this is important for us to understand. Jonah's flight from God represents Israel's flight from God. Let me just show you a little bit of this. If this wasn't clear in the earlier video clip, I have a map here that kind of shows you what Jonah's intent was. Jonah was in Israel, just a little bit north of Joppa. He was told by God to go to Nineveh. The estimate is somewhere around 550 miles. Jonah goes down to the port of Joppa, which is the only seaport of any significance that is nearby, within a quick travel distance, and decides that he's going to go to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles away. This is kind of an extreme illustration of running from God and the implication of his word. Jonah is fleeing as far as he possibly can from God. Actually, modern historians are not quite agreed on the exact location of Tarshish, but it does seem that Jonah is making his way to get as far away from God as he possibly can. You see, you don't really understand the story of Jonah. You do not understand the story of Jonah until you understand it as a story of election, a story of God's purpose in electing his people. This is something that is deeply theological and deeply consistent with all that God does throughout his history with his people. Like many prophets of Israel, the features of Jonah's life kind of serve as a living parable for the nation as a whole. What's going on in Jonah's life? It's kind of a window into what's going on in the life of Israel as a whole. Jonah is, like Israel, reduced to one person, and that's how we are to see him, and that's how we're to see the message of his life. Jonah's a prophet chosen by God, elected by God to bring God's truth to the world, in the same way that Israel is a nation chosen by God to bring God's truth to the Gentiles. And the events of Jonah's life and mission, well, they are a commentary on the history of Israel, their own life and their own mission. And like Israel, Jonah runs from his election. He runs from the purposes for which God has chosen him, desperately trying not to be the one he was called to be. And this is meant to be a mirror for us to hold up to our own lives in order that we might see how we deal with God. God lays his hand upon us and we desperately want to go the other way. The way God deals with Jonah is first and foremost a message to the people of Israel. It's a message that he's prophesying to Israel. This is the central ironic twist. I hope you can grasp this. This is the central ironic twist of the story. Israel thinks Jonah is a prophet burdened with a message of judgment that has to be delivered to Nineveh, when his life is actually a prophetic judgment against Israel. It's showing Israel their failings. It means if we're to read the story the way God gives it to us, we have to see it as a window into our own misgivings about the Word of God, our own sinful resistance to God's command in our lives. We need to take that message seriously because this is God's Word spoken to us. So the understanding here is Jonah had no intention of preaching the good news to the Gentiles when he goes to Joppa. He's intending to go the other way. And as far as he understood it, his one mission in life now was to get as far away as possible, as quickly as possible. Someone has said this, I like the quote very much. It says, "The mission that God has for his people is often quite different from the mission statements they write for themselves." Maybe you need to hear that again. The mission that God has for his people is often quite different from the mission statements they write for themselves. You see, Jonah was running from his God-given mission. Jonah went to the place in the world where they built ships. That's significant too, because building ships, especially in that day, was probably that demonstrated the most advanced technological achievement of the ancient world. The ships of Tarshish and the way that they were able to carry heavy cargoes. They were famous for this, carrying heavy cargoes from one port to another over great distances. One person said that here at Joppa, Jonah finds some of the most impressive achievements of human craft, power, and wealth. It's interesting how the Bible exposes our tendencies. And often when we turn from God's word, from God's calling upon our life, from the mission he calls us to, we turn to other things like human craft and power and wealth, just as Jonah did. So we find, as the story goes on, Jonah pays the fare, he boards the ship, and he heads on his way to Tarshish to flee from the Lord, to flee from the Lord. Running from God, that's what Jonah's doing. Running from God, that's the real problem. That really is the problem. We've got all kinds of, conjecture about what Jonah might be doing, his fears and other things, but ultimately, the message of the book is that Jonah is running from God. He's running from God. This is the life-threatening problem. Greater threat than the Ninevites with all of their well-deserved reputation of being brutal, violent, and so cruel to their enemies. There's never a time when they don't have victims. But the real issue is Jonah's running from God. This is what Isaiah 53, this is consistent with all that the scriptures reveal to us. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," that is the Messiah who is to come, "the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You see, the message here is consistent with the biblical message throughout. It's in our nature to run. Since the fall of humankind, we've been running away from God. And if you recall the story of Adam and Eve after eating the fruit, they try to run, they try to hide from God, try to conceal themselves from God. And God, as a loving father who is looking for his lost child, comes seeking. The issue is that we're running from God. The Bible says Jonah was not just running from God's directions, that God sent him this way and he went another way, but he's running from God's presence. He's running from the implications of the reality of God in his own life. And he does that as a mirror for the people of God. He does that reflecting us. If God was going to send Jonah to do something he had no interest in doing, then he was just not going to listen to God any longer. That's the real problem. The truth is that we only find real joy in the presence of God. This is the long-held belief of the people of God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, he says of God, addressing God, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." I like that. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. So the real problem is running from God. Here's another insight. Running, though it's a physical, geographical thing in Jonah's life, it reflects the deeper reality. It reflects the attitude of the heart. It reflects where we are on the inside. Do you know you can be running without changing geographical location? Because it's a matter of the heart. In other words, this literal movement of Jonah from in the opposite direction that he should be going illustrates the human condition. So the fact of the matter is, you can be in church and running from God, or you can be on mission and running from God, and all of it is a tragedy. Even a medical mission, we can be running from God. So it's a matter of the heart. If you have not already recognized and repented of this, well, it's probably because you're still running. The real application of the story of Jonah in all of this is that we are all runners, and we need to know how contrary that is to God's will and way in our lives, and how counterproductive it is to the blessing that God would bring in our lives. One person said this in answer to the question, why do we run from God? This is Jennifer Bledsoe. She says this: "Well, I run from God from personal experience. I can tell you that it was from shame, from guilt, from anger, and all kinds of things like this." She says that other times I didn't even know I was running. I didn't recognize that running from God was connected to the sin that is in my life, which was destroying my life. I didn't know that. Who knew, she says. But now that I know and recognize my behavior, I ask God to give me courage and strength to face whatever it is at that time, anger, fear, disappointment, whatever it may be, and to keep my feet firm in Christ. Jennifer says, each new day that we must stand in faith and press on in our work with the Lord. Some days are easy, some days not so much. But we have to stop running. I thought you might be interested in the story of another woman, a woman I don't know, but I saw her story depicted in video form, and I'm just going to ask you to have a look at this. That's a story that is repeated over and over and over again as God works amongst us. That's one life. Jonah's was one life, but it represents every living man and woman. We run from God. And so what's the answer? What really is the thrust of the book of Jonah? It's this: stop running from God. Stop running from God. And start running to God. That's where salvation is to be found. That's where hope is to be found. That's where purpose is to be found. We were made for relationship with God. We were made to know Him, to worship Him. Someone said this, I thought it was very insightful. Jonah did what many of us do when we hear something we don't want to hear. He moved to a place where he could no longer hear it. That's so often our way. Someone else said, it's when I don't like where God's moving me that I suddenly grow deaf. I can say that. The truth is, sometimes we'd rather die than obey the voice that is calling us. The truth is that we just don't want to do what God calls us to. We just don't want to bow to the authority of His word. Letting go, it requires that we give up our own visions. We give up our own assessments. We give up our own direction, even our own dreams and goals. We give them all up, even our best purposes. Whatever we might identify as the very best pursuit in life, it all has to be given up in order that we might hear God and know His way. Then we're released into freedom. So the question is, where are you running today? Where are you running from, and to whom are you running? And I want to ask our great God to search our hearts, just to search our hearts and bring conviction of the truth in our lives. Maybe we'll see what we have, the sin that we have rationalized away. Or maybe we'll see that we're trying to build an identity in something other than what God has given to us. Maybe we'll see, like Jonah, that there's idolatry in our lives that needs to be set aside in order that we might worship the one true and living God. The great message of hope in all of this is that we see Jonah, the chief illustration, a rebel and a runner who actually is found by God in God's loving pursuit. God won't allow Jonah to go all the way. God runs faster, further than all of our attempts at running from him. That's the glorious good news of God in Jesus Christ for every man, woman, and child. That's our hope. That's what we live for. That's what keeps in focus the eternity that is far beyond these passing moments. As we sang in that beautiful song, "Abide with Me." We have God abiding with us as we abide in him. That's my plea with you this morning, is that you just stop running from God and turn to him and know his blessing. Would you join me in prayer together? We're going to ask our worship team to come, and they're going to lead us in as we sing together again, but I want to lead you in prayer and trust that this will be a prayer that reflects the thoughts and attitudes of your heart, that these would be thoughts and attitudes of submission to God and of hope in his promises. Lord God, we ask that you would take your word and drive it to our hearts. We have nothing else of eternal power than simply the word that you speak to us. We ask for open hearts to hear it. We ask for the willingness to receive and to obey what you give to us. We pray that we would be moving with you, God, instead of against you. And we pray that you would be glorified, that we would have all that you have to give. You are the great God of heaven. You are the one who is almighty. You are the one who knows all things. You are the one who is all powerful. And you are the one who is all present. You are present right here, even in the midst of our running. Show us your way. We yield to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.